I'll bless the Lord when I get a house. I'll bless the Lord when I get a car. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. All times. All the time. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. He's doing great things. Let's go to the book of Genesis 18 and 10. Teach for a little while tonight. And try to teach you a little something. Amen. 18 and 10, Genesis. And he said, God speaking to Abraham, and Abraham's wife Sarai is in the tent next door listening. And he said, I will certainly. Everybody say certainly. Don't you know God is a certain God? He's certain. If he says surely, surely, then it's going to happen. He said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Not just her, but you too. I'll return according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And you know, she laughed. We'll read that in a minute. But Psalm 16 and 11 said, David wrote this. He said, thou wilt shew me the path of life. The path of life. But in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there is pleasures, plural, pleasures forevermore. Oh, I want to preach for a little while, having the time of your life. Having the time of life. There's kind of two ways to say I'm having the time of my life. Or I'm having the time of my life. And some of you are on one end of that, and some of you may be on the other. But I want to talk about the pleasures of having the time of your life. It starts when? Today. Lord, I come before you in your presence always. God, there is fullness of joy and happiness in serving you. Lord, I wouldn't even want to live without you today. Hallelujah. I know how the path of life goes, but I know who holds the path. And I ask you today to bless us, open our understanding to this word tonight, and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. That's kind of an idiom phrase, if you will, having the time of your life, and it usually refers to the highlight of something. And you meet people, and they say, well, you're having fun? And they'll say, I'm having the time of my life. Like it's just the most exciting time, most pleasurable time that life has ever offered them. It's the time of my life. And often people say that at times a great moment and great pleasure. And of course, on the other side, there is the bad part. But that's not God's fault. And so I want to talk about having the good time in your life. And I wonder, when is the last time you said, I'm having the time of my life? Brother, I don't want to be the only one. But you see, this is what God wants. This is where we fall short. See, I'm teaching tonight. This is where we fall short of understanding why he said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. So that if you live one moment that's outside having the time of my life, you need to hear this message. When is the last time you said, I am having the time of my life? Because you let your circumstances dictate the time of your life. It has nothing to do with circumstances. Zero. Because the time of your life is not always the circumstances that revolves around your life. Stay with me. It's not always a backward-looking statement of saying, well, I remember when, or the good old days, or whatever you want to say. Jesus did say, I think he did say, that I come that you might have life. And then we all understand life because you got up this morning, you got dressed, so you say, I have life. But that more abundant life that he's talking about is when you have the time of your life. Amen. It's not a one-time thing, it's an all-time thing. And so the best years of my life, I asked you the same question I had to ask myself when I studied for this. I had no idea I was going to preach this tonight. No idea whatsoever until I started studying this evening. And it switched to this. I began to ask myself, when was the last time you said I'm having the time of my life? Are the best years of my life behind me? Are the best years of my life still ahead of me? Or am I in the best years of my life? Ask yourself that same question. Where are you at in having the time of your life? David said in our text scripture, thou wilt shew me the path of life. How many of you know the path of life? I will tell you the path of life. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. That's the path of life. The path of life says, from dust came I, to dust shall I return. That's the path of life. You breathe your first breath, life came in. You'll take your last breath, life will go out. That's the path of life for the world. But some men's sins go before them and others follow behind. But for you and I, the path of life really is just a door of death. That's all death is. When someone gets sick, they say they're nigh unto death door. Because death is just a door to go into life eternal. Hallelujah. So he said, he that believeth on me shall never die. I'm having the time of my life whether you are or not. I am having the time of my life. Hallelujah. So he said, Shew me the path of life. Then he says, now this is what I learned. When I look at life itself, it gets depressing. Even Job looked at a stump one day and he says, shall it live again? He saw some little tender branches coming out of that stump. He said, Lord, that stump was cut down. It was dead. Look, it's living again. Shall I live again? He said, all my expected days shall I wait till my change comes. Surely if that stump lives again, a man will live again. So he said, I have hope beyond this life. What did Paul said? If I had hope in this life only, I would be of all men most miserable. I'm having the time of my life. And I want to try to you, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter how bad they are, I could read you a scripture. I will tell it to you now and I'll preach it later because this was going to be my sermon. Joseph ends up in prison, the pit, the prison, and he ends up in Pharaoh's house, and he ends up before all of his brothers. And he tells them in the end, now y'all don't have to hear this twice because I'm going to preach this. But someone needs to hear it tonight. And he tells them in the end, he said, I ain't got that part yet. What he said was, he said, you think you put me here, but God put me here. You think you put you there, but God put you there. You think the bad man put him there, but God put him there. So that you might say, what were you going to say? Yeah, now you don't have it. But you meant it for evil. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. The pit was good. The palace was good. The betrayal was good. Everything was good. I'm having the time of my life. I had the time of my life in the pit. I had the time of my life in the palace. I even went the time of my life. I was interpreting dreams in the dungeon, helping people out. I'm always having the time of my life. And you think you put me here. Oh, no. It was God that put me here that I might save many alive, including you. Is Daddy still alive? Oh, I got to wait on that sermon. The path of life is very simple. You live, you die. And when you look at a tombstone, you see the date of birth and you see the date of death, and there's a dash. That's the time of life. That's the time you live. Between the dash is the time, and everything relates to the dash and the time of your life. And for Christians tonight, we have hope beyond this life. It's just a continuation of life for us. God's presence is with us through the path of life. And so this is what David was saying. Now that I look at the path of life, I could get depressed. Well, God, what good is it? A man lives, he's but a vapor, and he appears a little time, and then he's gone. What is my life anyway? But he said, you know what? I realize that, yes, I'm going to die and so forth and so on. And there is troubles and all this kind of stuff. But your presence brings the fullness of joy. Yeah, your presence brings the fullness of joy. You will never, ever have the time of your life without the presence of God. Never. And the reason some people don't have the time of their life every day is because they're walking outside of the presence of God. Because this is the promise that if we walk in God's presence, he gives us life and he gives it to us more abundantly. Yeah, clap your hands to the Lord. Yes. So he says, and at his right hand is his strength. He said there, did you know he come to strengthen the weak? Did you know that? And Paul said, in my weaknesses, am I made strong. He said, in weaknesses, God's strength is perfected. So when you see, he said in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, it was for all the weak things. Bruised, prison, all these things, captive, all these things. I came to give strength. Now I'm going someplace tonight. I came to give you strength that you might have the time of your life. Moses even said, if your presence doesn't go, Lord, I don't want to go. Because I realize I'm a failure if your presence is not with us. And I need something that gives me the desire somebody said, I just need something to make me want to get out of bed in the morning. No, you need a desire to get out of bed in the morning. You don't need I got to get out of bed. I just need something to make me get out of bed. I need something to make me. No, you don't need anything to make you feel better. You need a desire that that I want to get out of bed. I want to do something for God. I want to go to work today. I want to witness to somebody because there is a desire. Because if you take the desire away, it's a job. I enjoy my job. I have a desire to do it. If I didn't have a desire to do it, it's work. And I don't work. I don't mind telling you, I don't work. Because I love what I do. Y'all can work, but I don't work. Because I'm having the time of my life. Oh, I clap for myself tonight. Man. Our text reads, with two old people that you might say was past the time of their life. Remember when Abraham? Watch this. Genesis 18 and 10. And he said, I will certainly return to thee according to the time of life. And Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it. And the tenth hour she laughed. God had just changed. Now listen close. God had just changed their names from Sarai to Sarah. And from Abram to Abraham. And anytime God gets ready to do something, he's going to change who you are. He's going to change your name. You know, when you get born again, that's a name change. I'm no longer Benny's boy. I'm God's boy. Right? I'm not the man I used to be. And so he just changed their names because he was fixing to change the time of their life. These two old people were fixing to go into, at 90 years old, the time of their life. And I want to tell you that outside of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, I'm fixing to show you the greatest miracle in the Bible outside the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And we've never really caught it. Verse 12. Therefore, Sarah laughed. Where did she laugh? Out loud? No, the Bible says within herself. Watch. Saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? This is the adult class. So, after I am old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord, being old too? And she laughed when herself. Now, there's a couple things she didn't laugh out loud. She laughed within herself. And there's a couple other things she said too here, though. I want you to notice. She says, she asked a question. Shall I have pleasure? And my Lord, he's old too. Well, you do the math. See, this, we never caught this. Shall I have pleasure? He's old too. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I am old? Is that what she's laughing about? She was looking at it, in a different way. And God said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to, here we are again, the time alive, and Sarah shall have, she's going to start enjoying life again. And I'm here to tell you, when you start enjoying life again, you will have the time of your life because you're walking in the promises of God. When you finally realize I'm walking in the promises of God, then you can begin to you enjoy your life. Oh. Lord, I'm glad you gave this to me. I don't know if they're going to do them any good, but I'm glad you gave it to me. And so this is the miracle of all miracles outside the virgin birth of Christ. Because what's going to happen, and I'm going to prove it to you, what's going to happen is she started looking younger. Now, I know y'all got other ways of looking younger. I know that. And Maybelline's still in business for a reason. Revlon's still in business for a reason. And you know, food coloring's still available for a reason. And, you know, and because all of y'all are trying to look younger. And I understand that. But God was doing a miracle that no man has ever, I mean, Ponce de Leon, if he'd have thought about it, he'd have went to God instead of Florida looking for a fountain to make him younger and restore his youth. I am here to tell you, this girl started looking sharp again. I see y'all, I lost y'all. Next Tuesday, I'm going to tell y'all the rest of the story. Because we've always looked at this as if, you know, she was just old and she was wrinkled and she has a baby. No, she's a chick. Oh, yeah. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Y'all want me to prove this to you? Because see, y'all have all been deceived all your life. See, y'all praying to the wrong God. You quit all that other stuff. Pray to God. And she denied, saying, I laugh not, because she was afraid. And he said, see, because she said, can I have pleasure again? Am I going to really enter into the time of my life? But it's kind of foolish me to think like, you know, like that. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. God said, you're not getting away with it. I heard you. You're not getting away with it. I heard you. And she lied. She's still going to have the time of her life. Well, how do I know that God restored her and perhaps even, guess what, her virginity? I know it may sound a little too far, but how many men? Now, watch close. Now, she is 89 years old right here, 89. How many of you want to date an 89-year-old? Who wants to marry an 89-year-old? Let me see your hand. Only someone 95 would want it. But if you could have, let me ask you something. If you could have any woman you wanted, brothers, next week I'm going to, I mean, let me tell you something. A king could get any woman he wanted. David did. I said, David did. He got, I mean, it talked about Bathsheba. He got her. Talked about Nabal's wife. He got her. Yeah. And in the end, he's dying, virgin. He got her. A king could get any woman. Why would he want? Why would a king want an 89? Only if she didn't look 89. Watch. Because shortly after he changed their names, he takes a little journey. And he brings Sarah with him. Genesis 20 and 1. We read in 18. Let's go to 20. This is after this occurred. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt in Kadesh of Shur and sojourned into Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my, I'll just add this, little sister. Why? She didn't look like his wife. This is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. What would he want with an 89-year-old woman? God had restored her so much that even the king, who could have any woman he wanted, said, boy, have y'all seen his little sister? Have y'all seen Abraham's sister? He looks, oh, that must be his baby sister. He said that for a reason. The king got worried because he had taken, now he hadn't done anything, but he got worried that he had taken this woman said the Lord had to deal with him through a dream. Verse 5, said he not unto me, he's telling the Lord, if he wouldn't have said unto me, she is my sister, and she, even she herself said, he is my brother. They might have both got young. The integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. I just wanted her because I thought I could have her. He didn't say it's my wife. He said it's my sister. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in integrity of thine heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Nothing happened. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Verse 11, and Abraham said, he said, why did you do this to me? Abimelech asked Abraham, because I thought surely the fear of God is not on this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. You're going to get my wife. So I told you she was my sister, because it was if the husband was dead or if the father was dead, it was the oldest brother's job to take care of the family. And yet, indeed, she is my sister. I didn't lie like you think I did. Because watch, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. She's my half-sister. And she became my wife. Isn't that? It was true. So Sarah and Abraham have now a new meaning. Are y'all still looking at me like I'm crazy? Have a new meaning to life. Sarah is sharp looking now. That she is restored and she's looking young and looking good. And Abraham said to say, that's my sister. That's not my wife, because he was afraid of losing her to somebody else. But at the appointed time, she began to have the time of her life. Yes, she did. And God showed up at the time of her life. When's the last time you said, I'm having the time of my life? And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Isaac means laughter. Laughter. I'm having the time. I know back in that tent, I laughed because I didn't think I could have I didn't think it would ever get any better. I don't know who I'm talking to. You don't think it's ever going to get better. I'm here to tell you God can restore everything, anything that you've ever lost. He can bring it back and let you have the time of your life. Y'all can be restored as father and son, and all these things you said will be just a testimony of God's goodness and God's grace. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. Woo, God hath made me laugh. So that all that hear will laugh with me. You remember those laughing boxes they used to have in school? You could punch that little box and it'd start laughing. And it was just laughter. And laughter doeth good like a what? A medicine. And before long you was laughing and there was no joke told. And someone can be laughing, you go, what are y'all laughing about? And you're laughing, you don't even know what they're laughing about. Time of your life. Pleasure. God wants you to have a good time in your life. Sarah said, God hath made me laugh. And she said, who would have said unto Aaron, to Abraham, that Sarah would have given child suck. Here she is.